Tonight, days after the U.S. convicted former Tema oil refinery boss Asante Kweku-Bekwu for bribery, Yoko says it has been ordered to secure U.S. records and launch a full asset recovery targeting proceeds and property of officials linked to the 2014 AXA power deal signed during Dumso amidst CSO's pressure for full disclosure.
We were in a hurry to push for its renewal and it got done.
We cannot continue to work with people who have been indicted for bribery. This contract needs to be reviewed.
Top Story is brought to you by Telecel Connected Energy's Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Shield Pension Trust into the future with you. When we return from the break, we speak to the lawyers of former Power Minister Kwame Adonko, who have denied any link to the multi-million dollar bribery case. We also go to Parliament and speak to the Energy Committee and engage CSOs as well. Don't go anywhere. This is Top Story. My name is Kenneth Jesse. Days after the United States of America convicted former Tema oil refinery boss Asante Kweku-Bekwu for bribing Ghanaian officials, Yoko says it has been directed to obtain U.S. evidence and pursue the recovery of proceeds, benefits, and assets from officials implicated in the 2014 AXA power deal struck during the Dumso crisis. Yoko revealed it received a request from U.S. authorities last year seeking information on specific individuals in Ghana, including what it described as a former minister of state and public servants. Yoko says tracing and seizing any proceeds, benefits, or property tied to suspected criminal conduct is now an integral part of its plan. However, the office stressed that Bekwu's U.S. conviction does not automatically implicate anyone in Ghana and that any individual named in the evidence will face independent scrutiny under Ghanaian law. We'll get details of the statement. But before that, Yoko completes its investigation. We've been hearing from civil society organizations who are already demanding accountability from the government. Africa Center for Energy Policy Executive Director Ben Boache and Transparency International Ghana Executive Director Mary Ada has called for full disclosure of the AXA deal.
The renewal was also another story. I mean, if you go through how it happened, where, you know, how ministers really pushed for those renewals to happen. And let me tell you this, if you look at the whole 5-year period of AXA actually operated in Ghana, you check the record, the data is there, an Energy Commission's data. The money that we paid for the fixed charges, AXA was deployed 16% of its capacity for that period. So what it means is that we essentially paid for the plant to be idle for much of its existence in Ghana over that period. And yet, we were in a hurry to push for its renewal, and it got done. So your guess is as good as mine how that actually played out.
It's really sad that we are continuing to fix this issue without bringing to attention the fact that we cannot continue to work with people who have been cited for bribery. Not just cited, in fact, indicted for bribery. This contract needs to be reviewed.
Head of Research at Joy News, Isaac Ofiege, has been breaking down how the bribe money were distributed.
First disbursement came on the, it came in April 2015, $500,000. The next disbursement was $1.5 million that came in May 2015. And the report says that, the court documents also indicate that each of the five officials who flew to Turkey for the plant inspection were paid $5,000 each on top of flights and hotel, fees. Now, let's look at the institutions or individuals who were actually mentioned in the the court document in terms of where the money went to. Public Utilities Regulator PRC, according to the court document, was paid 20 million US dollars. A named Ghanaian official was also paid 10 million dollars. And now Ministry of Power Girls were paid 20,000 Ghana cedis, according to the the court document. They were Ministry of Power staff. Mm-hmm. And Power Team were paid $25,000. Grid Co-Engineers, $20,000. Parliament, $30,000. And in fact, if you look at the travel visas for Turkey trip, that was about $45,000, about $50,000. The court document also mentions, you know, the relative of the president, which was associated, who was associated with the company, fake company one, in which in one of the draft emails, an outstanding, you know, balance of $2 million was being discussed with the said relative of the president, John Dramani Mahama.
So already there have been two statements on this bribery scandal, one from Yoko, the other from lawyers for former Power Minister Komuna Donkor, who was minister in 2014, actually. Let's start with Yoko. And my colleague Gemma Pia is joining me in the studio with more. Gemma, what does the Yoko statement say?
So Yoko says, consistently with its statutory mandate, asset tracing and recovery form an integral part of its investigative plan in this matter. So the office will examine whether any proceeds, benefits, assets or property may have been derived from or connected to suspected criminal conduct, and where the law permits, pursue the appropriate measures for their preservation, recovery and restitution to the state. The office also intends to follow the evidence and financial trail, including any relevant transactions, beneficiaries, assets and proceeds that may fall within its jurisdiction. Yoko further assured the public that its collaboration with U.S. law enforcement authorities and the AG's office remains active. Lawful international cooperation is critical to ensuring that any Ghanaian investigation is comprehensive, evidence-based and capable of producing a lawful outcome.
And lawyers for the former Power Minister Kwame Adonko, as I mentioned earlier, have also issued a statement disassociating him from the bribery allegations that took place during his tenure. Gemma, what did the former Power Minister say was his role in the AXA Energy deal?
So the lawyers say that Dr. Kwame Adonko acknowledges that he was the relevant minister at the time and confirms that the state, through the Ministry of Power, under his leadership, negotiated with AXA Energy to generate electricity for Ghana during a severe power crisis we all termed as Doomsor. Ken.
Thank you very much, Gemma. You're still listening to Top Story here on Joy 99.7 FM. Collins Adumako Mensah is the deputy ranking member on the Energy Committee. John Osai Kwapon is the Democracy and Development Fellow with CDD Ghana. Martin Pebu is a private legal practitioner. Katie Hammond is lawyer for Kwamina Donko. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time this evening. I want to begin with a lawyer for Kwamina Donko, Katie Hammond. Welcome to the program. Well, I understand we do not have him at the moment, but let's start with John Osai Kwapon, who is a Democracy and Development Fellow with CDD Ghana. Dr. Kwapon, welcome to the program. What do you make of all that has been happening? It first broke on Thursday, and it's been developing since.
Yes, good evening. Thank you very much. So, once again, I think every Ghanaian who has read the story and has expressed some concern is the right thing to do, right? We've been talking about issues of integrity in public office and all of that. So when you read stories like this that alleges that the integrity of public office or the integrity of the public procurement process was somehow compromised, then it becomes very worrying, and it brings to the forefront again our fight, you know, against corruption in government. Of course, we would have to get to, I know that on the US side, they have dealt with the issue and the individual involved, but I believe that it is also incumbent upon us as part of our fight against corruption and to ensure integrity in government, that it is incumbent upon us to also further look into this matter.
Let me bring in Martin Pebu. He's a private legal practitioner joining the conversation. Martin, do I have you? Welcome to the program. Right, we're still working the phone lines to connect with Martin Pebu on this particular subject. I still have John Osai Kwapon with me, CDD Ghana fellow. John, looking at how the Yoko and also the Office of the Special Prosecutor say that they collaborated with U.S. authorities to ensure that all the evidence that were needed were able to come to bear, which led to the pronouncement of his guilt in the U.S. over the weekend. What does that say about our law enforcement agencies?
I mean, it for me, it says to me that these are agencies are capable of conducting investigations and coming up with evidence needed to support holding persons accountable for allegedly having committed certain crimes. But it also says to me that then for them to have been able to, and even if you look at the OSP statement, then it also says to me that these critical institutions are in possession of at least some information that that can be the basis of triggering our own accountability processes within the, you know, in Ghana. At least that's my take on it, that if Yoku and other, any of our agencies did help in terms of collaborating with the U.S. in pursuing this case against the said gentleman who has been convicted in the U.S., then it tells me that we do have some preliminary information that we can use as the first step towards also triggering our own accountability processes in Ghana. Mm.
Let me now bring in Martin Pebo, who's a private legal practitioner. Martin, welcome to the program. So we've been hearing from Yoko, and legally, what evidence do you think Yoko would need to establish that a Ghanaian public official participated in the alleged bribery scheme, particularly where the U.S. conviction was against Asante Beko?
So, number one, the open and shut method would be for Asante Beko to give the names of these persons that the money was paid to. Yes, that would be the very strong way of proving it. Okay, then apart from that, you see in the indictment, they mentioned that they have emails that Asante Beko sent to certain persons. So I can imagine that Yoko and OSP, they will ask for those emails. So they will see the names of those persons that Asante Beko sent the emails to. And then from that place, they'll be able to take it further. So these are two great sources. And once Asante Beko is spoken to the U.S. authorities, then imagine that hopefully he's going to cooperate with Ghanaian authorities, because he's a dual citizen. He's a citizen of Ghana as well. And under Article 41 of our Constitution, he has a duty to help combat corruption, waste of public funds, and all those things, right? Mm. Hopefully this should do.
Right. We've been hearing from a former power minister, Kwame Nadonko, through his lawyers, and he says that he never met Beko, never demanded or received any money, and never authorized anyone to act in his name. So if investigators in this country find that someone demanded money while invoking the name of a minister, does that automatically implicate the minister?
No, unless the minister is aware, unless he sent the person to go and collect. And so it's all about the evidence. It's all about the evidence, the quality of the evidence. So let's see, as the days unfold, let's say if the person who collected the money is maybe, let's say, a personal assistant to the minister or a relation or a very close friend, then, as they say, follow the money. Hopefully it will lead to the eventual place. Can I continue? So it's all about the quality of the evidence. Yes, this is hardly would you find that the minister would want to collect that money straight away from the person paying. No, it will be foolish. These things, some of the politicians themselves, they say it They say it. Oh, I can mention one that you can Google. A former president said, but Akufo-Addo is stealing through his relations, etc., friends and family. That's what one former president was talking about, how Akufo-Addo would make money. You can Google it and see. So it's a way of doing it that you would hardly get the minister.
Hello, Martin, do I have you?
Star himself collecting the money directly. That would be right. Uh-huh. So, but yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So I'm saying that they don't pay directly. You would hardly get the minister to receive directly. It has to be through a friend, a relation, etc. So let's see what the emails and what Asante Beku will tell the Ghanaian authorities.
Martin, don't go yet. Collins Adumako Mensah is also joining the conversation. He's a deputy ranking member of the Energy Committee. He's also a former deputy energy minister as well. Collins, welcome to the program. You've been in a similar position before, having been a deputy energy minister. Now, there are calls for the cancellation of our deal with AXA, which was renewed. I'll pick your thought on that. But before that, though, I want to pick your thought briefly on what you make of all of that has been unfolding.
Well, good evening, my brother. And let me first put it in perspective. I joined the government 6 months to the end of our administration. So I was in government from June of 2024 to December 2024. I think it's important to put that in perspective. Answering this with regards to earlier session that I was in government, I thought I should just put this in perspective. First of all, the minority is yet to meet. You know, this news broke just over the weekend, and the minority is yet to meet to firm up our position as a minority. But obviously, the news shook me, and I was a little bit surprised. I had heard of the process in court, but of course any devastating news on an international platform like that should be worrying to any Ghanaian. So my initial reaction was that I was worried, and I'm sure any well-meaning Ghanaian should be worried that our name on the international stage has been broadcasted in such a manner. And so my initial comment is that I was worried about it. I've subsequently seen the release from Yoko,
right?
In the OSP's release, it tells me that there was some collaboration between the US and the Ghanaian counterparts that should give us some information going forward. I'm sure as the issues unfold, we may be giving more details as to exactly what has happened. I've also seen the release from the former minister, Mr. Kwabnadon Kos lawyers, deny categorically his involvement in all these processes. And as Martin Pegu said, as time goes on, more details will be made public. And at that point, I'm sure we can make more fruitful discussions.
Right. There are calls by a section of Ghanaians, including CSOs, that contract with AXA should be cancelled because it probably may have been awarded through corruption. Do you agree with them that contract should be cancelled?
I'm not surprised they are asking for the cancellation because the report from the courts are facts, as I know them, and I believe to be so, because these are processes in courts, and I believe that the issues that have come out are facts. On the basis of that, I'm not surprised that the CSOs are requesting for a cancellation of the contract. I am not in a position at this particular point in time to agree or disagree with them because I'm not seized with all the details. And as I said, the minority is yet to meet to firm up our position on this matter. But I'm not surprised that the CSOs are asking for a cancellation of the contract.
Don't go yet. Let me bring in Katie Hammond. He's the lawyer for Kwabnadon Kos. Mr. Hammond, welcome to the program. Your client accepts that he was the relevant power minister, and that his ministry negotiated with AXA. But what exactly was his role in the transaction, and what decisions did he personally make?
Some of these questions tend to be quite nebulous. I mean, he was the minister, the relevant minister at the time, so he would have superintended over all the activities that took place to make sure that the agreement was in a shape to be transmitted to Parliament and for ratification. So he doesn't deny that he was involved with it.
Mm. And your statement that you released also says that Dr. Donko has never met Asante Beko. Are you saying that there was no communication whatsoever between them directly or indirectly during the actual negotiation?
I'm repeating whatever I am saying on the instructions of what you are reading. Yes, he says he's never met him. He never dealt with it.
Right. Dr. Donko, through the statement that he released, also says that he never demanded or received money. Is that also to say that he had no knowledge whatsoever of any alleged payments or demands that were supposedly made in his name by people connected to the transaction?
I take it that you can read. I mean, this interpretation and asking me, does it also mean what? It is there in clear terms, crystal clear. What he told me is what you are reading. When he said, does it also mean that he hasn't this, he hasn't that? What is that supposed to be? Read what is there.
Right. Has your client, I have read what is there, by the way. Has your client seen or been briefed on the specific evidence allegedly linking a senior government official at that time to the scheme? And what's his response?
No. His understanding is what you have there. Something has come up in the American file. Somebody's been convicted. And on the bits and pieces that have been transmitted in the country, there's all this in making the round that the senior minister, senior government official would have been the minister at the time, responsible for power at the time. He accepts that he was a minister at the time. And it's very clear. He didn't meet this man, Beko. He never negotiated with him. He never made any demand. It's all there. It's like categorical denials. A, B, C, D, E. You can read them. Is there. He makes the point. If anybody goes on the frolic of their own and makes some scandalous and criminal demands on his behalf, he did not try that. Those individuals would have done it for their own benefit, and he cannot be held responsible for that.
Right. And I will once again refer to the statement that was issued in your name. That statement refers
to...
Well,
I signed it. I issued it on his instructions.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that statement refers to a technical team traveling to Istanbul to inspect the equipment. Do we know who authorized that, who participated, and what role did then minister play?
Let me explain. I have been at the ministry before, you recall. So these things are not strange. We're going to bring in a whole equipment which is going to generate power to the extent that is indicated. I think 370 or so megawatts for the country. Now, you expect that they bring to the country not a second-hand material, but the equipment you are bargaining for. So the procedure would always be to get the technical people to go on site and inspect and to be sure about the sanctity and integrity of the equipment you are receiving. That is why the individuals would have had to go on that journey. And it's clear, it's stated, that it is people from the various stakeholders of the electricity industry in Ghana, which certainly would have included ECG and would have included, actually, let's start with the VRA. They actually are responsible for generation. They wouldn't necessarily have to be there. You bring some plant and they look at it and they say there was some racist or what we're looking for and they can't do the job. But what do we do? So as a standard practice, engineers and technicians are sent out there to investigate the quality of the plant that is going to come to the country and to produce electricity for us.
While as Minister of Power, did it ever come to the attention of your client that there were people who were taking bribes in this deal?
Oh, come on, let's be serious. Could you ask another serious person? Don't be flippant about this matter. So we're dealing with serious matters. Please.
Mr. Katie Hammond, this is also a serious matter. This is a serious question that I'm asking you.
No, what do you mean by did it come to his attention that people were taking bribes? What are you taking for? Can you concentrate on the document that you have in front of you?
Right. We've been hearing statements from Yoko and also the special prosecutor who say that they assisted with the U.S. authorities, which led to the eventual finding of guilty of the former Tor MD. Have your client been contacted by Yoko or OSP in connection to this?
I'm not so instructed.
Say again?
I'm not so instructed.
Okay. Right. Thank you very much for your time this evening.
You're very welcome.
He is the lawyer for the former power minister, Kwabena Donko, there, repeating the statement that he released, denying categorically his client's involvement in any corrupt deal which led to the deal that brought the AXA energy deal to this country. I still have Martin Pebu on the line with me. I also have Collins Adumako on the line. John Osai Kwapon is also on the line with me. Martin, let me come to you. Do you think that evidence from the U.S. proceedings, which include testimony, financial records, and communications, should be used in the Ghanaian prosecution?
Oh, yes, because once they relate to the same subject matter, right, if we had a law that expressly prohibits, right, then that's when you cannot use them or the U.S. equivalent. And that one, usually, those things that you cannot use, they come up in the criminal case. And number two, it's when you want to take on Bequin again. So in simple terms, we would be able to use that evidence here. Remember, there are tape recordings. Apart from the emails, there are tape recordings, the emails, and then what Bequin himself or Beku would come and tell Ghanaian authorities. So we should be able to use the same. Yeah.
Right. And John Osai Kwapon, this is to you. How important do you think it is for Yoko to trace the alleged bribe money rather than focus only on whether a particular official personally received cash?
So I can't speak to, you know, the legal nature of some of these things, but I think at the end of the day, from a governance perspective, right, where you really are talking about the integrity of public institutions and public processes and public officials, then for me, it is very important that you don't necessarily zone in on a single person, right? But, I mean, try and find, you know, comprehensively who was compromised. And when I say who, not a single individual, but all persons or all institutions who were part of this allegedly were compromised or not. Because that, for me, is the way you address the integrity issues in our public institutions.
Well, there are many CSOs who are calling for the AXA contract to be cancelled altogether. Do you share in your view?
Well, I mean, the other thing you also have to keep in mind, though, is the cost of cancelling such a contract. Yes, if you can prove that it is tainted, wasn't worn fairly, it violated some rules, I'm sure there are remedies to that, and perhaps that remedy could include cancellation of the contract. But these are things that I'm sure you would have to proceed by looking at all the legal implications in terms of, you know, the consequences of abrogating a contract. But yes, I can see why there is that call if really the entire process was tainted.
Collins, we've heard from Yoko, as I mentioned earlier, and also the OSP. Yoko really is taking keen interest in this particular issue. How should they approach it, the investigations in Ghana?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I'm not a lawyer. All I want to see is that the name of Ghana is not tainted on the international circles, as is being done now. And so any processes that will help clear the name of Ghana is welcomed. I'm not too sure if I'm in a position to direct Yoko as to how they should conduct their business. All I think should be done is that anything that is done should be done fairly. Anybody who will be called to assist in the investigation should be done through the right channels and through the legal processes. That is what is important. But as to how they are going, they are supposed to do it, I'm not too sure I can depict that to Iyoko. I just want Ghana's name to be clear. Some very important governance institutions were mentioned. Parliament was mentioned. I'm a member of Parliament. And so obviously, I should be worried with some of the things that I'm reading. And I think Iyoko's investigation, of course, will give a platform to all the institutions and people mentioned to have their day and to clear their names.
Collins Adomako, thank you very much for your time this evening. He's a former Deputy Minister for Energy and also a Deputy Ranking Member on the Energy Committee in Parliament. We also heard from John Osai Kwapon. He's a Democracy and Development Fellow with CDD Ghana. Martin Pebu is a private legal practitioner. Katie Hammond is the lawyer for Kwabena Donko, the former Minister of Power.